Hey, everybody. Brad Smith here. I've got my twin brother, Matt Smith, on the line. Welcome to the Monday morning national call. And I want to do a quick introduction before we get to the topic of the call today. If you don't know myself, my brother Matt and I started, we work together, and we've got our own agency together. We started the very last week of March of last year. So we've been with the company for between a year and a half and 2 years. And today's topic is, in my opinion, it's the number one most important thing for any agent, whether you're new, whether you've been with the company for 5 years. I think today's topic is going to be the number one most important factor to determine how successful you are with pretty much anything. It has to do with human psychology, and a lot of people want to focus on the how-tos of the business, and how-tos are always important. But if your teachability is not where it needs to be, the how-tos won't matter. And some of the things, I'm going to encourage you guys to get a pen and paper out. We're going to go over some really good information that I'm excited to talk about. And this comes from, my brother and I have had a lot of success in the past. When we found Symmetry, we were really struggling financially. And, you know, before Symmetry, we had the privilege of being mentored by some multi-millionaires. We had the privilege of mentoring other people throughout the years, too. And coming into this business, one of my favorite parts of Symmetry that attracted me so much was having the whole mentorship program that we have. I was looking for somebody I could follow. And I think the number one is three keys that will determine your success. And this is based on, you know, we have dozens of agents within our company. We have an extremely high retention rate with our agents. And some of the things that we look for when we pour ourselves into an agent is these three things. So understand that this does come from not ourselves, not our own ideas, but multi-millionaires, in some cases billionaires, that teach this information that we've borrowed, not our original ideas. The first number one factor is, who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? A lot of people, and I was one of them, growing up, went to college, and I listened to that. In the beginning, I listened to whoever was important to me, my parents, my teachers, and I listened to their ideas. And something that I learned from a multimillionaire was, you've got to listen to the people who have what you want. You're going to get the results of the people that you listen to. And as well as my parents and my teachers, their intentions were well, they meant well, but they didn't have the results I was looking for financially and from a time perspective. I wanted time and money. And most of the people in my life didn't have both. They had one or the other. Most of my friends were broke and had no money. And some other people in my life, my dad is a doctor. He had money, but had no time. I didn't see him growing up very much. So I learned early that it was important to listen, to find people who have the results I want, and to do what they do. The next important factor is how teachable you are. And it's really interesting. We're going to cram a two-day weekend training into 30 minutes here. So just understand, these are high-level concepts. But if you guys dig in and really try to understand these concepts and learn this, it's one of the most important factors. And this next part, the teachability index, how teachable are you? If you took everybody in the company, we have a test that you could take that would, it would actually indicate how teachable you are. And everyone says they're very teachable. If I asked every one of you on the phone, everyone in Symmetry, how teachable are you from a scale of 1 to 10, everybody would say they're a 9 or a 10. But in reality, it's not true. And there's a way to tell how teachable you are. And it would be interesting to do this test, because I could almost promise you that when you do this test, we could take the top 10 incomers in the company. The Edward Pritchett, the Brian Delaney's, the Kevin Purdy's, Brandon and Casey, Brian Pope, they would have 9s and 10s in their teachability index. So, Matt, how do you determine, and I know it's hard in the beginning, when we have a brand new agent, it's really hard to identify if they're worth pouring into. And I would say it has nothing to do with past experience, it has nothing to do with skill, it has, for us, and the way that we identify who we're willing to pour ourselves into, it has to do with how teachable somebody is. And when I learned this, it became extremely valuable because then I could now focus my time in the right places, and I could focus my time with the agents who deserve it, not who need it. And that's a really important difference. So, Matt, how do you determine how teachable somebody is?
Well, there's basically two aspects to how teachable somebody is. There's two determining factors. The first one is what's your willingness to learn. What's your willingness to learn the information? You know, I meet a lot of people, and they will say that they're teachable, but they question everything. They question the phone script and whether the wording is right. They question what to say in the home. Is this really the best way to do it? So that's why, Brad, when you started, you talked about who do you listen to. You have to trust the source in order to trust the information. If you trust the information, then you don't question if the information is accurate. You can question why it's accurate so that you can understand it, but you don't want to question if it's accurate. And so the first aspect is what's your willingness to learn? And the way you can figure out what your willingness to learn is what is your willingness to give something up? What's your willingness to give things up? You know, some people say, well, I've got a 10 willingness to learn. On a scale of 1 to 10, or 0 to 10, 0 being you're absolutely unteachable. Your willingness to learn is a 0. You're not willing to learn anything. Or a 10 being you're willing to do everything. You're willing to do anything. You're willing to give up anything to learn that information. And this goes with anything, not just symmetry. If you want to learn a foreign language, what's your willingness to learn that foreign language? If you are willing to leave the country and go to that country and live there for a year and you're willing to give up everything, you've got a 10 willingness to learn. If you just went through high school class and you kind of, you know, you're sitting there on your phone the whole time, you may have a 1 willingness to learn. You may say you want to learn a foreign language. You like the idea of learning a foreign language, but you're not really willing to give anything up to learn it. You don't have a high willingness to learn. And it's okay if you don't have a high willingness to learn. You just have to understand, and your expectations have to be right, that if you don't have a high willingness to learn, you're not going to achieve as much, nearly as much, as somebody who has a 10 willingness to learn, and they're willing to give up. You know, a lot of people, they'll say, well, I've got a high willingness to learn symmetry, but when it's time to make phone calls, they're going to say, oh, well, American Idol's coming on. And I really want to, this is the last episode, I really want to see who wins. I'm going to make phone calls after American Idol. Are you willing to give up the things that are important to you for a season of your life to get good at this? Are you willing to give up your favorite TV shows? Are you willing to give up golf for a month or for 2 months or for a year if it takes that? Are you willing to give up some time with your family to provide a better life for your family? Are you willing to dig in and listen to the audio? Are you willing? Here's a really good way to figure out what your willingness to learn is. Are you willing to give up money to learn the information? You know, sometimes it's easy to give up time, or easier to give up time, but people don't want to give up money to learn it. We've got conference coming up in February. And that'll be a determining factor on what your willingness to learn is. Are you willing to make some sacrifices, maybe sell some things if you have to, in order to learn that information from the people that are doing the best in symmetry? So the first aspect is what's your willingness to learn? And just in your own mind, you can kind of rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. Accept change. What are you willing to change in your life? Are you willing to change your habits? Are you willing to change the things that you do? You know, some people, getting up on a Saturday morning is not something that they are used to doing, to make phone calls or going out on evening appointments. And you're going to have to change some habits. So what's your willingness to change? The hardest thing, but it's the most important thing to change, is are you willing to change your mindset? Are you willing to change your ideas? Are you willing to change your thoughts? As we've heard before, thoughts lead to emotions, which lead to actions, which lead to results. So one thing that Brad and I had to realize when we came into Symmetry is that my thoughts got me broke. My thoughts got me six figures in debt. And I had to come into Symmetry and say, okay, I thought I knew how to become successful, but obviously my thoughts got me broke. I am willing to listen to the people who have what I want, and I'm willing to do whatever they tell me to do. I'm willing to change my ideas. I'm willing to change my thoughts. I'm willing to sacrifice to make this thing work. And see, when we first got in this thing, Brad will say the same thing. I was obsessed with learning as fast as I could. I was immersing myself in this information. I was listening to the audios over and over and over and over again. I was listening to when I would do yard work. If I was, you know, helping my wife clean the house or something, if I was in the car driving to my appointment, I was listening to the audios all the time. I was on the phone with my mentor all the time. I was not listening to radio. I gave up radio. I gave up TV. And guys, it's not something you have to give up forever. We have to give it up for a season of our life. And is it worth it? That's how you're going to determine, okay, how do I get a 10 willingness to learn? How do I get a 10 willingness to accept change? So the way you figure out your total teachability index is by taking your number on your willingness to learn and multiply it by your number on your willingness to accept change. So if you have a 10 willingness to learn and you have a 10 willingness to accept change, you have 100% teachability index. And as a mentor, that is the perfect student. Because if you have 100% teachability index, you are going to fly through the material, you are going to have massive success, and you can have it right out of the gate. And I'll give you an example. A good friend of ours that got started just actually in November was his first month. He had had success in the past. His name is Matt Harris. And a lot of guys, you guys are going to meet him on the conference, and you'll probably hear his name a lot more. He was in a similar financial situation that Brad and I were in, and he had a very, very high teachability index, 90% to 100% teachability index. And his very first month in November, he made $25,000 commission in his very first month. But he was extremely teachable. He was obsessed with learning the information. He was working all the time, trying to learn this thing as fast as he possibly could. He was willing to make mistakes. He was willing to get rejected. He was willing to have people tell him no. He was willing to fail. And he had a very high teachability index. Then you've got other people. And this is frustrating from a mentor standpoint, is why is it that some people can have some of success right out of the gate, and other people struggle, and they don't have success. Some people never have success. And the biggest factor is how teachable are you? If you have a 0% willingness to learn, but a 10 willingness to accept change, you're still 0% teachable. You can have a very low number on one, a very high number, it doesn't matter. You're still not very teachable. You've got to have a high willingness to learn and a high willingness to accept change. So once you understand that the third aspect is understanding how we learn. Not necessarily the information, but how do we learn the information? How are we teachable? How do we learn it? So Brad, why don't you go over how we learn? What are the four stages of learning that we go through with anything? And it doesn't matter if it's, like I said, it doesn't matter if it's symmetry, it doesn't matter if it's a foreign language, it doesn't matter what it is you're learning, this is going to apply to everything. So if you want to get good at anything, you have to be willing to listen to the right person, you have to be willing to learn what you want to learn, what you want to accept change, and go through the four stages of learning. So, Brad, what are the four stages of learning?
Well, the four stages of learning, I think this is one of the big, huge, huge pieces of information that you and I had, Matt, coming into Symmetry that kept us from getting discouraged. I think one of the biggest reasons that disappointment happens in anything in life is because there's false expectations. And it may not be false expectations that somebody gave you. It may be false expectations that you gave yourself. And understanding how you learn things, to me, was a huge, huge help. So whether you're new, whether you've been in the business for a while, write this down. This will help in anything in life, in my opinion. How do we learn? There's four stages of learning. The first one is called unconsciously incompetent. Unconsciously incompetent, meaning you don't know what you don't know. The second stage, I'm going to go through what these are, and then I'm going to explain. I'm going to come back and go through what each one is. The second one is becoming consciously incompetent. Now you know what you don't know. You know that you're no good. The third stage is becoming consciously competent. And the fourth stage, which is where everyone wants to be, is unconsciously competent. So what is unconsciously incompetent? Think about it. When you came into Symmetry, everything sounded great, right? You saw the video. You talked to some people that were in the business. People are making great money. It's a great schedule. You thought, man, this is going to be easy. This is going to be great. I'm gonna get this thing in 4 weeks. I'll be exactly where I want to be. You're unconsciously incompetent. Then you move to stage two. You start calling some leads, and you get some rejection. You go into a home. You don't make the first sale you sit down with. You get a sale, then it gets declined, or you wrote the wrong product, or you forgot a signature. And then you start realizing, man, there's a lot more to this than I thought there was. This isn't as easy as I thought. And then you practice, and this is where most people quit. And then you continue to practice and get better and listen to the audios. I mean, I remember for the first 2 weeks, when I sat down in the home, I had my script out. I had my in-home script out on the table for the first 2 weeks. I was literally referencing it every 30 seconds. I remember where I was at. I was so nervous. But I was now doing the motions, but I was having to think about every single step. Now I was consciously confident. I was able to make some sales. After enough time, you move to where everyone wants to be, which is unconsciously competent. You don't have to think about it anymore. Now you just do it naturally. You can do it in your sleep. And that's when it becomes a license to print money.
Brad, I know when I got kind of a funny story with this. It wasn't funny at the time, but kind of looking back, I'm kind of funny. A few years ago, I was in Brazil. I went there on a mission trip, and I went to this really small, remote village where they hadn't seen, literally no American had been in this village for about 50 years. And so they just really looked up to the Americans. And if you've ever been to Brazil, they don't drive like they do in America. It's so chaotic. I mean, it's like nobody looks at the street signs or anything. I mean, everyone's just like tearing through the streets. And you got these motorcycles and stuff that are weaving in and out of traffic and out of cars. And it's just unbelievable how people aren't just dying, getting in car accidents all the time. But our tour guide on our bus had a motorcycle, and he didn't speak any English, and I've never ridden a motorcycle, but I've always wanted to. And he said, someone was translating, I said, he wants you to try running his motorcycle. He'll teach you how to do it. And I said, oh, okay, well, this will be kind of cool. And we were on a little side road, so I didn't think anything of it. And so we get on the motorcycle, and he's on the back. And we start, put on the helmet, we start taking off. And I've never done this before, so he told me to kind of ease off the clutch a little bit and give it some gas with your hand. You got to turn the little handle thing and give it some gas. And then we start taking off. I said, oh, this isn't too bad. I got this thing. I feel like I got this thing. And I started getting a little more confident. And he said, okay, turn left, turn right. Well, all of a sudden, we're out on a busy road. We're on a really busy road. And I'm starting to get a little nervous because, well, this is the first time I've ever ridden a motorcycle before. And not to mention, this guy doesn't even speak English. So if something happens, how am I going to even know what he's telling me to do? Well, we get up to a light. We're coming up on a green light, and it turns red. And I'm at the very front of this light. There's no one in front of me, but there's probably 20, 30 cars behind me. And as soon as this thing turns green, I try to start it, and the engine just dies. So I quickly went from stage one, unconsciously incompetent, to I was very conscious that I was very incompetent right now. I couldn't get this thing started. I'm trying to figure out, get the clutch going, turn it, why isn't this doing this? It's not working the way it was before. And I got 20 cars behind me honking and honking and honking and honking. And he's sitting there speaking Portuguese in my ear, trying to tell me what to do. And finally, I get the thing started and I take off. And the more I did it, the more competent I became. I obviously never reached the stage of unconsciously competent because the whole time I'm consciously having to think about what I'm doing. I'm consciously having to think about, okay, I got to ease on the brake. Okay, I got to put the clutch in. I got to give it some gas. And it's interesting when you say that, when you go through the four stages of learning, because whenever I see people quit this business, it's almost always when they become consciously incompetent. Everyone's always looking for the easy way out. They're looking for the, we live in a microwave society. We want instant gratification. We want to instantly make money. And we hear these stories of these guys that make $25,000 their first month. And why can't I do that? And why am I not making sales? And I keep getting rejected. This thing doesn't work. And they end up quitting before they even become consciously competent.
But well, then, this is what you're saying right now is such a huge point. You guys have all seen opportunity jumpers, and maybe you've been an opportunity jumper before. The grass always seems greener on the other side, and it's because you're always looking through the lens of unconsciously incompetent. Everything looks great when you're unconsciously incompetent. So the reality is, how many times do you want to jump from opportunity to opportunity to opportunity, going from consciously incompetent back to unconsciously incompetent, back to consciously incompetent, and then unconsciously incompetent? The reality is, if you want to be successful at anything, doesn't matter if it's symmetry or whatever opportunity it is, you're going to have to go through these four stages of learning until you get to the point where you are unconsciously competent. And I mean, the question really is this worth getting to that point? Is it worth becoming unconsciously competent? And I know for me, I mean, I can just tell you guys, my life over the last 18 months, you wouldn't recognize it. I don't recognize it. It's just absolutely unbelievable. We went from closing a business down after 10 years, and we were doing $5 million a year. We had $100,000 a week going into our business. We weren't keeping that. A lot of that was going right back out the door to expenses. But in 2012, we had to close the business down, went almost a year of making almost no money, going through all of our savings, walking away from that business with multiple six figures in debt. That's my situation coming into Symmetry. I had $142 in my checking account. We had multiple six figures in debt and had no clue how we were going to get out. And I remember one thing that really inspired me is a book by Robert Kiyosaki. He said the best thing that ever happened to him was when he walked away from a business he had to close with $1 million of debt. Because when you have that big of a problem, you've got to have that big of a solution to get out of it. And I think one of the biggest blessings that I had was being multiple six figures in debt, because now I had to find a solution that was equally as big. And what happened was, now, fast forward, we've got all that debt gone, totally debt-free for the first time since college, before college, totally debt-free with six figures cash in the bank. I cannot tell you how good of a feeling that is. The stress, it affects everything in your life. If you've been in that kind of a situation financially, it affects your marriage. It affects your relationships with everybody. It affects your sleep, your stress level, your health. And to have that gone, I'm telling you guys, it is so worth going through the four stages of learning. Becoming unconsciously competent with Symmetry, I've never seen anything that is out there that is more worth it. So, Matt, why don't you wrap up, and how does this all work together, the three parts we talked about? Who do you listen to, teachability index, the four stages of learning? How does that affect everything together?
Again, all of these are important aspects to your success. You could be very teachable, and you could have a high willingness to learn and a high willingness to accept change, and you could go through the four stages of learning and be unconsciously incompetent, but if you're not... when it comes back to the very first one, who do you listen to? If you're listening to somebody that's broke, you could be unconsciously incompetent in doing what the broke person is doing. And we've heard this before, that practice makes perfect, but that's not true. It's practice makes permanent. Practice makes permanent. It doesn't have to be the perfect thing. If you're going to do something over and over and over, you could be doing the wrong thing over and over and over and over. And you want to make sure that you're listening to the right people and your information is accurate so that you can be practicing the right thing and make it permanent. Practice makes permanent. Well, you could be listening to the right person, but if you're not teachable and you're not willing to learn, you're not willing to accept change, then you're not going to have success. And then you could be listening to the right person. You could be 100% teachable, but if you don't go through the four stages of growth and learning, and you don't stick with the fourth stage long enough, and see, a lot of people, they might even get to unconscious incompetence and still feel like they're not making money. And the key is getting to that fourth stage and doing it consistently and doing it long enough until it finally happens. And if you do it long enough, then it will start to happen. So you've got to have the right mentor. And that's why I love Symmetry, is we have an opportunity where the people who are making the money have incentive to teach us what they know. I mean, Edward Pritchett, he was making, $40,000, $50,000 a month when I met him. And normally, why would somebody that's making $40,000, $50,000 a month want to teach you what he knows? In the world out there, normally you're treating a competitor. And with Symmetry, I've got an opportunity where I can learn from somebody making $40,000 or $50,000 a month, because the more I make, the more he makes. And so he's willing to teach me everything he knows. It's in his best interest to teach me everything that he knows. So that allowed me to trust the system, to trust Edward, and whatever he tells me to do, it's obviously going to be in my best interest, because that's also going to be in his best interest. So who do you listen to? What's your teachability? What's your willingness to learn? What's your willingness to accept change? Are you willing to get to conference in February? Are you willing to learn from the people who have what you want? And then go through the four stages of learning and embrace the struggle. Embrace going through consciously incompetent, because understand that that is part of getting to unconsciously incompetent. Embrace the consciously competent. When you go to conference, when you get on these conference calls, when you listen to the audios, when you go into the home over and over and over and over and over, and you get to consciously competence, you're getting closer and closer to unconscious competence. And then once you get to that stage, you've got to stick with it long enough until it works. So guys, we appreciate you taking the time to get on the call. We appreciate Brandon and Casey asking us to host this morning training call. We hope it was helpful. And have a great week, a great day, and God bless.